Man, I don't know about you, but I like those chops that Noah had on. Man, that was good looking. That was crazy. Hey, guys, thank you for being here today. My name is Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. So if you're a guest with us in this room, or if you're a guest online, thank you for hanging out with us. If you call Central home, I'm glad you are here today, because you could be doing a lot of different things during this holiday weekend. But thank you for hanging out with us. And so to begin, I wanted to show you something real quick. I got a cool announcement to make. And so this right here is just some church blueprints for our church. And I wanted to let everybody know that as a church, we've been waiting a long time to begin our construction. In fact, this past May, our architects, they finished all of their work. As a church, we finished all of our work at the very end of May, and then we sent everything off to the city to get permits, and it was supposed to not take very long, but some circumstances happened. It took all summer, but 2 days ago, we finally got our permits to begin construction, which is an awesome, awesome thing. So we've been planning and preparing for this for a couple years, and we are getting ready to finally begin to break ground. In fact, I want to just give you a big announcement about something that's happening in a couple of weeks. And we're going to put on the screen here. We are going to have on September the 22nd, that's 3 weeks from now, we will have our official groundbreaking ceremony. It'll be right out here in the north side. It's already kind of that area that's already blocked off. We're going to have a groundbreaking ceremony in between both services. And so here's how this is going to work. That Sunday, if you're in a small group, as you finish the small group during the previous service time, we're going to ask you to come out here at 10:30, about 30 minutes before this service starts. If you come just for the service, we're going to invite you to come a little bit early, and we're going to have a big groundbreaking with everybody that's in the first service and all of you guys that are here in the second service. It's going to be a great time for us as a church. We're ready, finally, to begin construction. This place is going to be gutted. We will be out of this place for about 10 months, and we'll talk more about what that's going to look like. We're moving to even more services in our venue. It's going to be a crazy time, but it's going to be an exciting time as we prepare our facility for what God has next for us. And so, man, I want to let everybody know about that. It's going to be pretty awesome. You know, our church is under construction. We've been doing a lot of stuff for just kind of in our own way, doing some small construction. We're about to do some major construction, but there's something everybody needs to know today, is that you are actually under construction as well. And the Bible talks about it a lot. In fact, Philippians chapter 1 says this, says that I am certain, Paul's writing to the church in Philippi who were believers in Jesus, and he says this, I am certain that God who began the good work within you, the God who began the work of sanctification, of making people more like Jesus. He says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And what it's talking about is about working on yourself, working on you becoming more like Jesus. Or another way you could say this is that it is talking about your character. In fact, your character is under construction all the time. Whether you realize it or not, your character is under construction. So these blueprints are another way to kind of symbolize your character. What does your character look like? We're going to be talking through the entire month of September about how we can grow and build the character that's within each one of us. Now, character is not morality. Morality is different. Morality is knowing what is right and wrong. Your character is not that. Your character is who you are when you are tempted, and it's when your morality is challenged. Another way to put this is that your character is morality under pressure. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The idea that your character is when what you believe to be right and wrong, when it's actually under pressure. One of my favorite TV shows is The Walking Dead. Anybody else like The Walking Dead? Okay, all right, we'll have some counseling for everybody, including myself, after the service. But I love The Walking Dead. In fact, I got my whole family to watch it, and they weren't like, They weren't into it at the beginning, but now they're into it, right? We watched the whole Walking Dead series, and it's about the zombie apocalypse, totally truthful, right? It's going to happen someday, whatever, right? It's interesting because you have these different people that come into the show, and it doesn't matter their background, but that when they were under pressure, when life was turned upside down, their true character came to the surface. And it showed and revealed either the best in people, but it also shows the absolute worst in people. And just like you can't escape the zombie apocalypse, you also cannot escape your character. Another way to put it is this, that your character is who you are in the shadows and in the light. You cannot escape your character. But people try to escape their character all the time. They try to front their character. We do that all the time where we're like, we want to put on a show in front of people different than what our character really is like in the shadows, outside of the light. And we say things like, you know what, man, if my actions don't hurt anybody, then what's the big deal with me cheating? What's the big deal with me lying? What's the big deal with me cutting corners and being deceptive? I mean, if it's not hurting anybody else, then does it really matter? Well, the truth is, it matters to God. And since it matters to God, it also should matter to you and to me. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be kind of looking at some things in this passage that kind of show how important it is that we focus on the character that's inside each one of us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, a young guy who is kind of, he's building his character, working on that. And here's what he says in verse 7. He says, train yourself to be godly. Now, this idea of training yourself for godliness is kind of just like how you train your body physically. In fact, the Greek word for train yourself is where we get the word gymnasium, okay? This idea of putting in the hard work. Back in May, I thought I was young again, and I tore my bicep. Everybody knows that. And I had surgery, got the scar right there. Ever since then, I've been in physical therapy all summer. And let me just tell you, it was awesome, guys. Physical therapy was great at the very beginning. I would just show up, and they would just kind of do some stretches with my arm, and they would massage my arm. And I was like, man, physical therapy is great. Like, I could do this all the time. And then they began to give me some weights and begin to have me do some exercises. And I started out, guys, let me be honest. They handed me the pink weights, the pink dumbbells. 2 pounds, okay? 2 pounds. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I struggled so bad, guys. It was awful trying to build back the bicep muscle. And I'm over there with the 2 pounders, and everybody's looking at me. I'm like, stop looking at me, right? I was like that guy in the corner. I was known as the yeller in physical therapy. Like, stop looking at me. But I have graduated finally to the 15-pounders, okay? It's not very impressive, but they're manly weights, you know? And I'm like, yeah, everybody look at me now, right now. So it's this idea of slowly over time working up to physical health, but in the same way, working over time to being a godly person. Paul says to Timothy, hey, you need to train yourself for that. It doesn't just happen by accident. And it's not an automatic thing when you become a believer in Jesus. It's something you have to work towards. He goes on a couple of verses later in verse 12 and says, look, you need to be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and your purity. Now, we don't have time to go through all of those, but these are all virtues of a Christ-like life. Or another way to say this is, these are virtues of your character. These are virtues of your character. And he goes on in a couple verses later and says this about those virtues. Hey, give your complete attention to these matters in verse 15. Hey, don't just push these off, think that they're just going to magically happen. You need to give your attention to those things. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Now, let me explain this part at the end. It's not talking about earning your salvation. It's talking about proving your salvation, okay? And so that other people may see what God has done in your life. You can't earn your salvation, but you can and you will earn your character. That is the truth. And the great news is that Jesus shows us actually how we're to do that. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says this. It says that Jesus, he's your example. He's your example, and you must follow in his steps. He is the example that we should follow. Another way to look at this is this idea that Jesus is our blueprint. If you want to know how to have a good character, okay, when you're working out what is right and true, what you believe to be good and bad in life, like when you're trying to do the right thing, if you want to know how to do that, we need to look at Jesus. Jesus has the blueprint for character. It's not just about following other people or someone you look up to. It's man, we should just go to the source and look at Jesus and his life. And so that's what we're going to do today, okay? Everybody tracking with me? We're going to look at some ways that Jesus modeled his character and how we can be like him. And first thing we need to look at and see is that we need to walk like Jesus in the crowd. His character was on display. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, you'll see over and over again, Jesus' character was on display. And we got to see whether he was just with his disciples, or he was with the Roman soldiers, he was with the Pharisees who were trying to trip him up, or he was with thousands of people. Every one of those situations, he got to show who he really was. He got to show his compassion towards people. He got to show his honesty, his integrity. And one of the main things that he showed was his humility based on who he actually is. And Paul talks about it in Philippians again. In Philippians chapter 2, he says this. Look, in your life, if you're a believer in Jesus, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Instead, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Like it gives us, say, this is how we should live. Why should we live that way? Because that's how Jesus lived. He says this, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And begins to describe that. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. You need to realize, Jesus has always been. He didn't just come into existence 2,000 years ago. He is the creator of all things. He has always been God the Son. And yet the Bible says that he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He came to this earth and humbled himself. And goes on and says, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, God the Father. And this showed ultimately what he did. He died a criminal's death on a cross. You see, the greatest display of Jesus' character was when he was on display up on the cross. That truly proves who he is. And the truth is that your character and my character is on display as well. Look, we don't trust the media anymore, do we? Anybody trust the media? No. Did you know that the media has a 7% trustworthy rating, okay? 7% of people in our country actually trust the media today. You know that only 16% of our country actually trusts the government today? It's kind of crazy, all-time low. But did you know that only 25% of our country actually trusts Christians? Why is that? Why is that when actually those same people at 70% actually trust Jesus? Or they look up to Jesus, say, man, that's a good thing. He's a good person. 70% of our culture says, hey, Jesus is good. But why do only 25% actually say the same thing about Christians? I think the answer is that we aren't living the way we should be living. When we are in the crowd, when we are in front of people, people understand what the Bible actually says. They understand who Jesus is and what he says we are supposed to do. They look at Christians and say, we know you're supposed to live that way, but you don't. You're a hypocrite. And I think that's one of the telling signs that we need to look at our character. What our character looks like, not when we were just at home, but actually when we're out in the crowd, when we're around other people. And you and I have a choice when it comes to our character.
And we have a choice to display the love of Jesus and who he actually is in our lives when we're around other people. And so we need to be like Jesus. We need to walk like him in humility and integrity and honesty and all those things with compassion in front of other people, because it really does matter. But you know what? We also need to walk like Jesus in the wilderness. You know, there's time where Jesus, he was all alone. He was by himself, and his character was still intact. In Matthew chapter 4, there's this story of that kind of begins like this. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. We're not going to go through the rest of what happened, but there's a story. For 40 days, Jesus is all alone, and Satan comes and begins to tempt him to sin. Look, no one would see what Jesus did. And no one would know if he gave in. But the Bible says that Jesus said no to that. He said no. He said no when no one would know what was actually going on. You see, Jesus was the same whether he was in private or he was actually in public. And you know what he did to combat that? He didn't just go, hey, I'm Jesus and I'm awesome and I can't be tempted. And you know what he did? Instead, he turned to Scripture. He said, no, this is the truth. He had hidden God's word in his heart. And when temptation came, he said, no, this is actually what is true. And it's a great thing for us, a great lesson for us, that when we are alone, Scripture ought to be our greatest source of integrity, our greatest source of character. And I was thinking about this. How do you know if someone has good character, like in secret, right? When no one knows, because we don't know, right? And I was thinking about this. I think there's lots of different ways, but maybe the two top ways that I can look at Christians and their lives and know if they have integrity is this. Number one is shopping carts. Okay, shopping carts, all right? So when you're at the grocery store and you got all of your stuff and you got things to do, I mean, you're on a deadline, you're already late to get back home and your milk is getting warm, right? And so you check out and you go, it's hot outside, you open up the back of the car and you go and you put all your stuff in the car, you close it, and then this is what we all do. We look around to see if anybody's watching. And we look over and we see that the return area is, it's like 20 yards, guys. I don't have time for 20 yards, you know what I'm saying? And so I do this too. Like, it's like, should I just leave this here? No one's going to know. Like, I don't care if it hits someone else's car. That's their problem, right? I'm just going to set it to the side a little bit and just go on my way and get out of the way. You know what that is? That's your character. Whether you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to think of other people more than myself, just like Jesus did. You know what? It may take me an extra 20 seconds. Oh, my goodness. Your day is going to be ruined, right? 20 seconds and go and do the right thing. Because you know what? You never know who's watching. Your pastor may be watching. I'm going to sit in the Walmart parking lot. No, I'm not going to do that. That'd be creepy, okay? I'm not doing that. You never know who's watching. You want to know another way that I think we can look at our own character is what we do with our money. In our culture, I mean, we don't talk about how much we make, right? I mean, that's a taboo thing. No one ever mentions what they make. But also, we don't let people see what we spend our money on. And I'm not talking to guests in this room. I'm talking to believers who are committed to this church. If you're a member or you're a tender of this church, here's the truth. I don't know who gives here. I'll never know because I don't want to know. But I do know that only about 50% do here in this room. And I don't know what the reason is or whatever, but I will say this. When no one knows what you spend your money on, your character will come to the surface. Your character will come to the surface. How are you spending the resources that you have? It matters. Right? What you do in the shadows, in the wilderness, when no one can see, it really does matter. And look, I know that finances are tight. I mean, inflation's crazy. It's. I'm like, how? There's no money at the end of the month. Like, what's going on? You know, it's crazy to think about it. And what it does is it puts a lot of pressure on us, which actually takes me to the third way that we need to walk like Jesus. We need to walk like Jesus when he was under pressure. Just like I said earlier, your character is when your morality is under pressure. And there were times where Jesus was under extreme pressure. Did you know that there were 8 assassination attempts on his life? That's a lot of pressure. Jesus was betrayed. He was abandoned. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was punched. He was tortured. And eventually he was crucified. In the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says that like a lamb to the slaughter, he didn't make a sound. That wasn't showing his weakness. It was showing his character. In the middle of being under that pressure, Jesus didn't give in to fix things to make it easy. He recognized the value of being under pressure. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. You know what the joy was? The joy was you. The joy was the chance for you to have a relationship with him. Because of that, he endured the cross. The truth is, Jesus could have run from the cross. He could have run from the pain of all that, but he didn't. As I think about Jesus going to the cross, you know what I think about? I think about Jesus, like I don't think he had shoes on, but I think like he put on, metaphorically, the shoes of character. He knew that it was going to be difficult. He knew that it was going to be tough. But he said, you know what? My character is leading me. Even when I'm under pressure, because of who I am and what I'm called to do, no matter the pain, there's a reason for that pain and that suffering. I'm going to continue in that. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to compromise myself. The problem is, a lot of us, you know what we do? When we're under pressure, we put on the shoes of compromise. Like, no one likes pain. In fact, it's like the joy, it's like the purpose of our life is to find joy and happiness, you know? Whatever it takes, even if we have to compromise. When no one will know, we'll cut corners just so that we can keep from having to go through difficult things. You know what? It's why teenagers will cheat on tests. I'm looking at all you. You want to know why? You want to know why? No, not you. I said, right. Isaac, look, here's the deal. You want to know why people cheat on tests? It's because the pain of failing it is too great. They'll give up their character all day. It's why we will steal. I'm not talking about like armed robbery here, okay? But it's like when you're at the restaurant and you get the bill from the waitress and they didn't charge you for one of those meals that you had ordered. What do you do? Are you like, yes, man, we gained something today. A lucky day. Let's go get some lottery tickets, right? Are you like that? Or do you go, you know what? You didn't charge me for this. You have a choice to make, right? And it is your character when it's under pressure. We will be deceptive. We'll compromise to avoid pain. But the truth is, pressure has a purpose. There's a reason for that. In fact, the Bible says that we shouldn't avoid those difficult situations or try to get out of them by compromising ourselves. Instead, here's what it says in Romans 5. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, okay? That doesn't sound very good, but let me explain. Here's what it says. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops what? Strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. There's a purpose for it. I also love that show, Forged in Fire. Anybody ever watch Forged in Fire? Any manly men in this room, okay? Right? You got the goatee on, right? Just like Noah, right? Like, Forged in Fire is this really cool kind of just reality TV show, and they have these contestants, they're blacksmiths, and they have to create either like a knife or a sword, and they have a certain amount of time. It's crazy in there. It's hot and sweaty, and they're messing up, and they're running out of, you know, they're running out of the chance to make it right, and sometimes they will turn in a knife that is just brittle and just breaks, and they take each one of those knives and they try to chop different things, the judges do, to see if it actually has built up that endurance. And you know how you actually build up endurance? endurance with metal like that is you got to put it through the fire multiple times. It's got to go into the furnace and get red hot and then be quenched over and over again. And every time that happens, the metal gets stronger and stronger to the point where when it goes in front of the judges, they've done it right. That metal is actually flexible and strong and sharp. It's the same thing with our character. We should not run away from difficult things. And when I mean by run, we shouldn't like try for them. We shouldn't put ourselves in there on purpose. But when those difficult times happen, it's a test of your character. And running away means you compromise yourself. But Jesus didn't. He didn't compromise at all. When he was under pressure, his character came to the surface. But here's the big problem, guys, and I get it. Jesus is perfect, you know? And so it must have been super easy for him, right? And you're like, man, I'm supposed to be like Jesus, but he's God, so that's kind of difficult for me to be like him. Yes, it's true that Jesus is God, but he was also fully man at the same time, meaning that he had to actually grow his character. And the Bible says that he actually did that from a very, very young age on. When he was little, as a teenager, as a young man, he was building his character, his human character that was a big part of him. You wanna know how he did it? Ultimately, here's how he did it. And there's actually a secret to walking like Jesus. Whether you're in the crowd in front of people, whether you're in the wilderness and you're all alone, or you're under extreme pressure and it'd be so easy just to compromise yourself. You wanna know the secret? The secret is a relationship. In fact, you could say it this way, that following Jesus' blueprint for character, it requires a trusting relationship. You see, Jesus, you know who he trusted in? He trusted in the Father, God the Father. He trusted in the Father because he actually knew the Father. Jesus, over and over again, he spent quality time with the Father, praying, getting alone, talking, listening. He built this strong relationship. And then when in Jesus' life here on this earth, when the outcome was unsure, like when Lazarus, his best friend, dies and he's far away and he can't get there in time and he was okay with it. Jesus was like, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You want to know why he was that way? Because he trusted in the Father's plans. Because he had a strong relationship with the Father. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is on his knees sweating drops of blood and saying, hey, Father, please take this cup of going to the cross. Take it away from me. I don't want to go through this. Instead, he goes, you know what? I'm unsure about this in my human self, but I'm going to trust in the Father because of my relationship with him. He said, you know what? Not my will, but yours be done. You know what Jesus wants for you? He wants the same thing. He wants you to follow him like that, to trust him with the outcome. And the truth is that you can't shape your character alone. You have to have that relationship with him. In the Gospel of John, Jesus explains that. Look what he says in John 15. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches, okay? You cannot be the vine in your life. You can't work up and just do it all on your own to have that strong Christian character in your life. You can't do it, Jesus says. He says, I am the vine, you're the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing apart from me. You need Jesus. You need a trusting relationship in your life to be able to withstand when the pressure is too great. The character, especially Christian character, is who you are because of a relationship with Jesus. It's not because you're a good person, because you're not. Neither am I. We need Jesus in our lives. Do you have that relationship? Maybe you'd say, you know what, I don't have that relationship. Well, I want to invite you to trust in Jesus today. He will change your life. Instead of you trying to be just a good person in this life, Jesus wants you to surrender your life to him, and he will change your life. For those of you in this room who say, you know what, I am a believer in Jesus. Let me ask this question. How is that actually going? Or am I stepping on your toes a little bit today? I'm stepping on my toes as well. We need to work on our character. It's important because it points people to the Savior. So I'm going to stop right there for today, okay? We've had enough. But we're not done. I want to invite you to come back next week because we're just digging in and we're going to actually talk about more of your character. We're going to talk about your thoughts. It's not going to be fun, okay? Invite you to it, okay? No, it's going to be great. We're going to really dig in and look at our thought life and what it has to do, what God has to say about our character. So let me invite you to stand for just a moment. This is a time for us to respond. As you stand to your feet, we're gonna play a song, opportunity for you to worship. But you know what? It's also an opportunity to respond to him by trusting in Jesus and saying yes to him. If you'd say, I don't have a relationship with Christ, we want to invite you to make that official today, to trust in Jesus to pay for your sins. Our connection room will be right over here. We have great counselors, great people. They would love to spend some time praying with you and talking with you during these next few minutes. But maybe you need to just deal with the Lord right now. And you say, you know what? My character does not reflect my relationship with the Lord. Whether that's in public or whether that's in secret. And when times are difficult, I'm so easy to compromise. Ask him. Help me. Jesus, help me. Confess those things and begin that relationship again. It's worth it, guys. It's worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray for everyone in this room, especially for those who don't have a relationship with your son, Jesus. It's very clear that we cannot earn our way to you. We need a Savior. So Lord, I pray right now, if there's anyone listening online, there's anyone in this room, that today might be the day of their salvation. They'd say yes to you for the first time, and they would go and tell somebody, and that you would radically transform their life from a life of them trying to be good enough to instead trusting in you to save them from their sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for your ultimate showing of your great character and your love for people. I pray, God, for every one of us, you help us to be able to live like you lived. Whether we are in the crowd, whether we are all alone, whether life is so difficult right now, God, help us to have that strong character just like Jesus did. Forgive us, God, where we have failed you. Help us to walk out of this place encouraged to know that there's a fresh start. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Central, we're so glad that you joined us today for Central Online. It's been a great time of worshiping our Savior together as a Central family. Maybe today God has been speaking to you about trusting him with your whole life and even taking that first step in following him. Well, we'd love to get to connect with you. You can text the word forgiven to 94,000, and that will get you in touch with our ministry team. And if you just need prayer about something specific, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and pray. So just send an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. Well, if this message has spoken to you today, why not take a second and share this with a friend or family member that might need to hear it? It's an exciting time to be part of Central as we do our best to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. We'll see you next week.